This is Pure Decking, show number 431 for Thursday, April the 8th. I forgot to look up a funny year. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and recommending violence as a solution to all problems. Tonight, I have a bit of bourbon, the last bit of wine, and some water in front of me, so we're going to see what happens. Madman, what are you drinking?
Currently drinking water. We're all gonna die because I don't have booze, but I'll fix it eventually.
Are you? I'm afraid to ask.
I knew Madman was drinking water because today is gonna be a warm one, and it's been slowly ticking down cooler and cooler. So, fuck you, Madman.
So, and for anybody who's wondering, in case the show goes to shit again, but I sound fine. That's because of how we do the broadcasts. Basically, I pick up the mixed output from TeamSpeak. That goes into the broadcast box. The broadcast box feeds it out to the stream and does the recording. So if TeamSpeak goes to shit again, I'll still sound good, but everybody else on the channel is going to sound like, you know, a robot that needs a defrag. So we're just going to see what happens.
Comes with the territory, man.
It really does.
No show is immune from technicals.
Actually, something I've been looking up because I'm trying to design what I want to do for my new network once I move. And I was looking at ideas of proxying my entire connection through some of these third-party services. But it's like, man, that bandwidth bill could get expensive doing that. But yep. At the same time, it would solve some problems for me, too. So it's... I may set up a split tunnel like that. We'll see. Maybe not send all of my traffic through it, just some of the traffic. Set up some proxying shit. I don't know. I got about a million other things to handle, so really it's kind of low on the list.
Let's just wait till you move in and unpack.
Unpack, see what kind of networking I need to build. And like I said, about 100 of the things that have to get taken care of between now and then. So... anyways, I guess we can just jump right into it. I am missing a story tab. How did I do that? Somehow I have lost. Well, shit. All right. I have somehow lost a tab on my browser. That's okay. I've got the link. I've just got to... copy-paste it and get it back in the system, because what the fuck? Actually, I've lost several tabs. I must have accidentally closed them without realizing it. Oh, that's an auto-playing video. I hate that shit. Anyways, so to start with tonight, I thought this was interesting. This is from a local news center site, WCVB.com. And a ransomware attack cancels classes at Haverhill Public Schools. What state is this? I looked it up earlier, and now I forgot.
Haverhill is working with local
and
police.
And there's the fucking stupid auto-playing videos. I hate those. Massachusetts. Okay, here we go. So, yeah. Haverhill, Massachusetts. Classes were canceled Thursday at Haverhill Public Schools because of a ransomware attack on the district's computer system. The superintendent says their IT department managed to shut down the network before large-scale corruption of the system occurred, but it will take time to get email, phones, and Google Meetups up and running. We've got an email and a call regarding that there was a virus going on with the computer. There was no internet, unquote, said parent Tamika Vasquez. Quote, I tried to get to email my teacher, but it didn't work, unquote, said Jarvis DeLon, a fourth grade student. Despite bright sun and temperatures in the 60s, Thursday will be considered a snow day, and it will be made up at the end of the school year. They're now considering widespread IT problems a snow day.
Wow.
The district is hopeful that... Oh, go.
I knew up was down and down is up these days, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The district is hopeful that all cloud-based systems will return to working order by Friday morning, but there will be no Wi-Fi in the buildings. While we are hopeful school will resume on Friday, we are currently unable to confirm the school will be in session. Superintendent Margaret Marotta said, the district said it will finalize its Friday plans Thursday afternoon. Thursday was supposed to be the first day back for school grades 2, 3, and 4. The police department is working with school officials to determine the origin of the hack. And I'm going to close this tab so it doesn't start playing the damn video again. Okay. That's it. And they've got a video that's basically saying the same thing, but... They literally shut down the schools because the computers weren't working due to ransomware.
No, excessive snow.
Well, yeah, now. Studies have determined that you are a weather balloon, and weather balloons do not talk. Wait, what?
That's awesome. So we're just going to call it a snow day, you know? 100,000 customers couldn't access their banking accounts today due to excess snowfall. Like, fucking hell, newspeak go brr.
I don't.
God damn.
I can't imagine. I mean, when I was going to. Well, Madman, when you and I went to school, they had days where the computers weren't working. You know what they said? Use fucking pencils.
Yeah.
And shut down the school because you didn't have the computers up and running.
I mean, the biggest story there is fucking the lax use of language. Like, you're not exactly conveying what the problem is by calling it a snow day.
It just means that they have nothing else in their policy to account for a reason for why classes wouldn't be in session. Because it used to be pretty damn rare that you'd call off school.
Yeah, it was a natural disaster, which is what our snow days were here.
Yeah, is it my problem that I'm having more problem with the language in the story than the actual place getting hit by ransomware?
I mean, it's amusing.
Dude, anything that you can get into is you know, vulnerable to ransomware if you're not running updates and doing proper hygiene, but... I don't go calling it a snow day. Call it what it is. Okay? A ransomware attack.
Well, I'm just thinking it's amazing to me that a malware attack shut down a school.
Dude, the reason they're calling it a snow day is because then nobody is responsible because it's act of God. The IT department of the school is responsible for the security, right? Or whoever their vendor is or whatever.
Sure.
They're instantly let off the hook now for a responsibility in patching systems and stuff like that by calling it a natural disaster.
They're still in trouble. The reason they're calling it a snow day is they don't have a policy written for not having school because their computers are down. And this way, they still get funding from the state for running. They can call in extra funds for running late instead of just paying it all out of the county budget.
So it's a way of defrauding the system with language. Okay.
It's fraud. It's kind of fraud.
Yeah. I mean, it's not kind of fraud. It's fraud.
They're still running. The reason that fund is there is to get it running an extra day. The reason that they are down isn't because of snow. It's because of computers. They just haven't updated the policy since ransomware became a thing. So it's not like any of the teachers are profiting from it, or even the administration. It's just cost shifting.
I'm just thinking, have we, and maybe this is just me in awe of the, you know, the world nowadays, but I'm like, have we truly reached a point where, you know...
Students can't work without a computer?
No, not that. I mean, you know, I could accept that, kind of, but especially when they're doing a lot of remote work. You know, stuff. I'm just thinking, have we reached a point where we have malware attacks that are equivalent to acts of nature in the way we deal with them? You know,
in this instance, no, but yes, I could see it getting to that point if it targets certain infrastructure.
Yeah, but schooling is not one of those things.
No, I'm thinking if it targeted a power plant.
Yeah, or a water company, or, you know, a communications hub. Like that would be the equivalent to some sort of natural disaster, but not the IT lab, oh no.
Because, honestly, the teacher for most subjects, except for your computer class, should have been able to go on. Your math class should have continued. Your history class should have continued. Home ec should have continued. Driver's ed, I mean, the only class I can think of that you can't have without a computer is computer class.
And see, that's what I'm thinking, Madman. I'm like, you know, or have we gotten to the point where the technology is that integrated that, you know, you have a ransomware attack and you're done. You can't operate. Now, I know several businesses are like that because they're so reliant on, you know, electronic wire systems, documentation, so of course email, or, you know, custom-built applications, that's how they do business. I get that. But it just seems weird to me that a school has to shut down because they don't have email and they don't have Google Meet. And what was the other one they listed? Wi-Fi.
Oh. Even if it was what I'm thinking it might be, I don't see why it would be a problem. If the students are all still doing remote learning, all the teachers I know that were doing remote teaching weren't in class either. So wouldn't that still be something doable, even if the school's computers were down?
Depends on how they've set up the remote learning. A lot of them are using Google and Zoom. I imagine the ones that are using Zoom, the meetup, you know, they could still have, you know, everybody who's remote still could be able to get into a Zoom call. But if they're all working off Google Docs, a lot of the Google Enterprise applications, it's not that the applications themselves are running on the schools. It's that a lot of the authentication stuff is stored in the school's data centers. So I know a lot of companies like this, like their Office 365, their email system, the email's all in the cloud. It's all running in Microsoft's thing, and as long as Microsoft doesn't fuck up the DNS like it did last week, you can get in and get your email. But a lot of companies will set up Office 365 so that the authentication piece is still happening on their Active Directory on their network. So even though my email is hosted by Microsoft, if my company goes down, I still can't get it because I have no way to log in and say, I'm me, it's okay, let me see my email. And Cycross said there's a lot of hybrid. Yeah, and that's exactly it. That's the common term when you've mixed your on-prem and your cloud infrastructure like that. So
that may be what happened with these remote learning, if they're still doing remote learning.
I imagine it
is. A lot of states still are.
Well, they specifically mentioned Google Meet, so I'm assuming that's what's going on there. But yeah, that amazes me that we're shutting down schools over ransomware. And I know that that's kind of a dumb thing to get hung up on, but, you know, and maybe that's just us showing the age. I mean, and I should know better given the industry I work in. It's just, I'm sitting there looking at that going, fucking really? You shut down the school over a virus?
Yeah,
Well, if they're only set up in Google and they can't get to it.
I know.
Can't switch to Zoom.
I don't know, man.
Although, I don't think it would have been too much of an... Oh, no, if everything's stored in Google Docs and they don't have a physical lesson plan to look at, I guess that might be an issue. I'd just say switch to a different meeting software.
You know, I've had this idea a couple of times, and I kind of keep... I've been trying to look for an excuse to bring it up on Decking so we can talk about it, and I think this is it. How long until we start seeing certain professions, I'm thinking primarily the legal profession, police work, investigations, just saying you can't use digital storage? It has to be on paper, and it has to be on, and if you're doing something recorded, it has to be an analog tape. Because I can fucking tell if you've edited an analog tape, there's a cut in the thing with splice tape on it.
Trying to think, how long ago were computers invented?
I know.
Because almost everything that I'm doing, even though there's A lot of it's digital. There's still a hard copy of all of it. And the reason for that is lawyers.
Well, that's just what I'm thinking, is how many times do you start seeing, you know, certain areas just saying, no, you can't use modern technology. You have to use an analog storage medium so that we can deal with it in the same way we're used to dealing with it. Because, you know, you can, you know, if it's on paper, you can deal with it as a piece of paper. If it's on analog video or tape, we know how to deal with that. But
the legal system and the banking system already do that. There's a lot of stuff digital, but for every digital copy, there's still a hard copy somewhere.
Yeah. There's still the servicing file for a mortgage.
There's still an actual printup for banking transactions, even though that is retardedly long, and I don't know how long that's stored. But there's a reason why we still have a stenographer in the courtroom.
Yeah, but the stenographers are taking all their stuff digitally these days. You can go buy stenographers' keyboards for a laptop.
Yeah, but they're still printing it out. So, okay. I guess if the power goes out in the middle of the courtroom, you might have missed something. But even those, I see a lot of stenographers. At least the trials I've been looking at.
So using mechanical.
I've seen mixtures, mechanical and computer, so some of them are doing straight computer, but they still print it up for the file.
Well, and that's just it. I'm just wondering how many things you're going to see where, not for any technical reason, but for, you know, the either a legal reason or just the tamper evident reason, they just decide we're not using digital for this. It has to be on paper. And I know you said banking, they still keep the paper backup somewhere, and that's true. And I do know that that's true, but I'm thinking other things. I'm thinking like anything to do with government on paper somewhere, which
I know
they print it out anyways, but you know what I mean.
It depends on what aspect of government. Anything to do with title.
Yeah.
That's all paper. So you can go find the chain of title for any property in paper, written in books. That's whenever you're looking at release lien, that's why they still reference a book and page number. There's physically a book you go to and a page in that book where your deed is and where the liens have been added and removed for however long that property has been surveyed.
Well, so Madman, and I think the disconnect you and I are having, you're referencing systems that nobody has bothered to go back and update the procedure so they still do a physical copy.
It's not that they've not gone back and updated them. It's required because we need a clear chain of title. There are states like California. Everything's also electronic. But they still have the physical forms because lawyers want a clear chain of title. So anything dealing with legal, I can see businesses like McDonald's not having paper copies other than their tax forms.
Right. I'm not...
All right.
Okay. The point I was making is how long before they actively start banning digital technology as opposed to just using it out of legacy. That's where I was going with it. Like actually saying, no, you're not allowed to do
this. I don't know of anything banning, because everything that we're really pushing that needs hard copies.
For the future.
Well, for it to need to be banned, you would have to have already gotten rid of the hard copies, but lawyers aren't letting that happen for certain government institutions. Anything to do with property, pretty much, or wealth.
All right. It's fine.
I see where you're going with it. I'm trying to think of a problem
where, okay, what if we stopped keeping paper copies and then we're forced to go back to it? Lawyers aren't letting us stop on certain things.
So the scenario I'm envisioning doesn't require us to stop keeping paper copies at any point. It just requires somebody going, you know what, these computers are too much of a hassle and people can edit things too easily. So, no, you're not allowed to use them. You know, just actively banning them. That's the point I'm getting at.
I don't know of anyone that would actively ban them. I know there have been pushes for things that have gone digital to go back to also having paper copies. Some voting. There were some voting stations that had nothing but digital vote counters
a
couple years ago, and they went back to having both paper and digital.
I'm not talking about the present. Never mind.
So So you envision a world where there's no longer paper trails, but it's all digital. And something happening to the point where they go, fuck it, we're going back to the way it was because everything's ruined.
Well, I'm the one that keep the thing that I keep thinking of is the idea that you're going to start having a government mandate that you have to have analog copies of everything so that they can ensure the digital copy wasn't tampered with. And I'm specifically thinking of audio and video because...
You're not talking about just a printed out receipt either. You're talking about handwritten, aren't you?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, you're talking about going back to handwritten.
I'm thinking in terms of a Luddite government.
Yeah,
of a government actively, and it's not tomorrow. It's not something that anybody's looking to do. It's speculation that because you keep having little things like this here and there, where you know you see trials where they've got video camera and they're like, oh well, that's edited, and it's like. I mean, you see it all over the place with this little stuff here and there. I'm just wondering, do you actually have somebody go in for the full Luddite option and say, well, you can work digitally, but you have to have a full analog backup of everything so that we can ensure it hasn't been tampered with. I mean, and maybe it's almost so, and maybe that's almost like a bad future fiction thing. I don't know. It's just an idea that's been bouncing around in my head. Madman's trying to find a fit for that in the present, and that's not what I'm talking about.
Well, no, because we're not there yet, but we're trying for a world like that. Because they were thinking about implementing no longer having a, like, in your hand driver's license, that it would be electronic.
Yeah.
That cops pull you over, you give them your phone, and that has your driver's license and all that on it. Well, as soon as the government didn't get any pushback from it, they realized that people could take advantage of this, and we're going to stay with the hard currency, the hard driver's license. Because, yeah, people would just fuck with it. Because,
I mean, well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, Madman was talking about a clear chain of title. You can do that today with the blockchain. I mean...
It's the same thing with what we've got for closing the show tonight, that they thought that they could fraud... the fraudsters with that by going to electronic. And I'm telling you, electronic's easier than analog to defraud. Should we have to keep a paper record of all the gas receipts and stuff like that so then we can line up roughly mileage to gas use? Because that's going to be a thing.
I don't know.
Well, it's, yeah, dude, I could see where you're going.
I could see some Luddite government mandating it, though.
I can see where you're going, but it would take an absolute fucking disaster for them to have to realize that they've slowly destroyed everything that they need for recording, records.
Yeah.
But, this is a fucking generation we won't live to see.
Oh, that's probably the case. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking.
I'm thinking a little bit
long term out, but it's just an idea that keeps coming back.
I think at the end of the day, it'll all go electronic. We're gonna figure out a way of having a harmonic signature for everything, like a watermark, but something that can't be tampered with, like music or something like that.
An electronic watermark.
Yeah. It's something that I can't see, and it's for generations to work out that I won't be around to fuck with.
There are ways of doing some things like that, but with hashing, one-way hashes,
biometric security,
keys, blockchains to ensure chain of custody, and then
there
are ways to do it, but it's expensive and difficult. And
well, at the moment, and that's why I say this is a generation that we won't see. So we, have an idea what's coming, but we can't see it.
No, that's fair.
A fair idea what it is, but I will hedge a bet that before one of us goes on to the next stage that we will see, I think, harmonic signatures for watermarks or at least biometrics for your data where you're going to have to give a sample of blood or something like that to prove that you're yourself.
All right,
I'm looking at some of this legislation that they're bouncing around in the EU for your health passport, and some of this shit sounds really intrusive, but it's for your own good.
Sure.
Having to give blood when you go to another country. I don't think I want to land in Mogadishu and trust their health system with a needle. Just saying.
Madman, I cut you off there. I'll let you finish, then we'll go to this next story.
Oh, and what?
When I was getting a little frustrated because you and I weren't talking about the same thing.
Well, you're talking about what if the world ends and we just go back building electronic? I don't see that happening.
Well, I don't know. It's not everything so much a world ending is it's the government deciding they just can't manage digital and say
an
fuck
epic
it.
Shift in yeah. mindset.
Yeah, it would be that.
It would take an absolute disaster.
Rid of all of the lawyers and everyone wanting to keep track of wealth and then going straight digital and then realizing that's stupid and going back.
When have we ever as a species done something incredibly stupid and ever taken it back?
We've done lots of things incredibly stupid.
And we haven't taken anything back.
When have we done something that divorces hard copies from wealth? And it's been cheaper to go digital for a while now than to keep hard copies.
I'd prefer to run back to the notch and stick days, to be honest. A real hard currency. Everything was notched into a stick for that are written.
If you want to go card currency, we should go the original hard currency, heavy metals.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, to be honest. But that would mean countries that have to be financially honest with themselves and with their people and owe up to what they owe.
And fuck up no China and pay. Us.
Yeah. Oh, us too, man. Like, we've had retarded governance,
Anything deficit spending would be screwed up, so...
Yeah.
The third world would become the first world very quickly.
Very quickly. Okay. Anyway, rocket snail.
All right. Next story is from CNBC.com. This story's all over the place, but I thought it's worth talking about. Supreme Court rules in Google's favor in copyright dispute with Oracle over Android software. Now, for the record... Both of these companies are terrible. It's not like you want to root for either one, but in this case, Google's argument was the correct one because Oracle was trying to copyright interface patterns. So
this is essentially the equivalent to bum fights in court. It didn't matter which team you root for. Both of them just smelled like shit and dirty as fuck.
Well, kind
of. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, it's up there. Like, I'm not a fan of Oracle.
Hold on. Were they trying to copyright command line? Is that what I was hearing?
It's like, technically APIs. They were trying to copyright the API interfaces to Java. They didn't. So the whole thing stemmed that Oracle didn't like that Google had published their own version of Java for use in Android, specifically parts of the Java stack that they recreated. So they weren't using any Oracle code outside of the name. Well, functionally, the names of some of the programming interfaces were the same so that you could still use Java. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they did find that, some of the engineers who worked on Android had actually copied a couple of lines of code out of Oracle Java, the open source Oracle Java stuff, but it was literally like interface names. So
they wanted the copyright of the interface names.
Right. They wanted the copyright of the interface. That's not a good example. But it's almost like trying to say, oh, no, we own the design steering wheel's a bad idea. We own the design of the system that you connect your steering wheel to steer your wheels. Like, the steering wheel is the program that you've written on top of it. I'm talking about the steering column, right? It's like Oracle's trying to say, no, we own that. You can't make your own.
Imagine that, dude, having to redesign the steering column for every make and model of car.
And
because someone claimed it.
And
you can't build anything that looks similar.
right? And Oracle's saying it's not fair because then you can use, you know, that way you can't, you know, we don't want you being able to use any old standard steering columns that were originally designed for our column, so you're not allowed to make one that's compatible with ours. That's what they're saying. This is a terrible analogy and breaks down in all kinds of places, so don't examine it too deeply. I'm just trying to get the point across.
I'm seeing what you're saying, and I still go back to see my previous statement of courtroom bum fights.
The Supreme Court on Monday sided with Google against Oracle in a long-running copyright dispute over software used in Android, the mobile operating system. The court's decision was 6-2. Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who was not yet confirmed by the Senate when the case was argued in October, did not participate in the case. The case.
Thanks for pointing that out.
I'm just reading.
No. I'm talking. You're talking to the dude who wrote the article, man.
It's like yeah. So that, he that felt it was important to explain why it was a 6-2 as opposed to a 6-3 or a 7-2 decision.
All right. Yeah, I suppose for the non.
Yeah. Well, and that you know, Amy Coney Barrett because Trump nominated her, so they got to, you know, anytime they can. Anyways,
flip the foot in. Yeah.
The case concerned about 12,000 lines of code that Google used to build Android that were copied from the Java application programming interface developed by Sun Microsystems, which Oracle acquired in 2010. So that's the other thing, is that. When Google first, well, it wasn't Google actually. It was the Android development team that Google acquired in early days. When they picked Java, it was before Oracle bought it. Now it was right before Oracle bought it, but the time frame we're talking about here. So it was seen as a landmark dispute over what types of computer code are protected under American copyright law. Oracle had claimed at points to be owed as much as $9 billion, while Google claimed that its use of the code was covered under the doctrine of fair use and therefore not subject to copyright liability. Android is among the most popular mobile operating system in the world. Oracle sued Google over the use of its code and won its case twice before the Specialized U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, which held that the code in question was copyrightable and that Google's use of it was not protected by fair use. The Supreme Court reversed the appeals court decision, though it did not definitively resolve whether the code in question was copyrightable. Oh, the code probably is, but... You know, it's one of those weird things where, and this is something I've read up on a little bit, you know, for 3D printing, is that if you go into CAD and design a purely functional part, like, I don't know, a corner bracket to hold two pieces of wood at a 90, like you're making a shelf or a table or something, right? Yeah. If I go design this bracket in CAD and it's literally, you know, a right angle, a bit of material for support with two holes in it, purely functional part, I cannot copyright that. You cannot copyright a purely functional part. Now, you can patent it if it's novel. I seriously doubt anybody's going to consider a corner bracket novel, but so I kind of like the idea of purely functional stuff not being copyrightable. You know, you have to have some kind of an artistic to copyright it. So this is why you'll see a lot of times parts and things like that are purely functional, where they'll have a logo stamped all over it, or they'll have, you know, a fancy curve on a side or something like that. And that's where they're trying to get copyright protection on that part, even though technically it's a purely functional part.
The iPhone case is an example of that, actually.
Thank you. Yeah, that is a good example of that. So, you know, it's you know, Apple couldn't own the shape of their phones because that shape was basically functional. You know, you can't say that we own a curve. It's a little too simplistic, you know? So, anyways, so I kind of like the idea that if your code is purely functional and it's just an interface, that it's probably not copyrightable because it, you know, it doesn't translate, right? You know, that's not artistic. That's just a bolt that's holding something together. So,
should it fall under copyright or should it be patented?
I don't know. Software patents are a thing. But, and in fact, you used to see software companies would invent, usually using like transistor level logic or something, they would invent a hardware implementation of like a, of like if they had a custom algorithm or something like that, so they could patent it. Because they weren't sure if you could patent do software patents. Now, these days, you can do software patents, but I don't like that idea. Because, I mean, how could you patent a novel? Could you patent a recipe? Because that's essentially what computer code is. On some recipes,
you can't even copyright them.
I mean, computer code is essentially a recipe to build an executable. Right? So, on one hand, I don't want to say you can't copyright computer code or patent it, because I'm not certain that that's the right answer. But at the same time, you're dealing with what is essentially a set of instructions for a set piece of hardware. Is that really... I mean, copyright seems like the right place for that, but I'm not real happy with the copyright system, the whole life of the author plus the life of the Disney company for the terms of your copyright. So
the reason I was thinking patent is, for something to be patented, it has to be novel, and novel's defined as someone in that industry would not have easily come up with it. So the braking system on most cars, you're not going to be able to patent anymore because it was very obvious.
Yeah, it's just.
But if you were
disc.
To come up with the, we were talking about it earlier. The brakes that recharge batteries are doing pretty much a geared.
Oh, the
servo,
regenerative recharge braking. In the electronic cars, where it's actually turning the electronic motor into a generator. Not a
that was
an
novel.
Effective one, but it's a damn cool idea.
That was novel. Not a lot of people thought of that. I mean. No one thought of that. So that one was something that could be patented, even though most braking systems, they're not patentable. At least most of the ones you'd think of, because they were very obvious. So with computer code, if it's something a programmer would have easily thought of, it wouldn't be patented unless you came up with something breakthrough. Like if they come up with true artificial intelligence, that would be patentable. But... this turns your monitor on and off at a given time isn't.
No, that's kind of idea. I think you're thinking a little too advanced. You're thinking about the final outcome. I would think in terms of, is this code made up of models that I could get out of a textbook? Or does this code have something truly novel that is performing in it, like, you know, a unique mathematical algorithm, a unique data management paradigm, a unique...
That's why it says someone in that industry, because I don't know what would be unique in that industry.
You know, I would think the demo scene guys from the Amiga and Commodore 64 days would have more shit they could patent than somebody who writes a word processor or a web page. But that's just me.
That's one problem with both patent and copyright law. It is very subjective.
Well, it's like there is real effort that goes into writing code. Like, I occasionally have to code at work. Now, it's mostly glue script or one-off things or writing my own little utilities to accomplish things, and mostly in Python. So if anybody wants to judge my coding abilities, I write shitty Python scripts. There it is. That's about most of what I do with coding these days, except for the occasional basic program when I'm feeling nostalgic. You know, there is a lot of work that goes into writing code, especially if you are doing something unique. You know, the guys who invented containerization of executables, you know, that's pretty unique. That's a unique way of sorting a system. And then, you know, you had somebody else come along and build the infrastructure under it to build things like Docker and Kubernetes. You know, there's some real unique things about that. That might have something in it as far as, you know, if you were going to do the patent or the copyright thing, except they open sourced all their code so people could use it. So I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. But because I don't want to say you can't patent, you can't copyright code, but I feel like the majority of code is probably shouldn't be patented or copywritten because it's not unique or special. It's just boilerplate to make a system work. You know? Am I explaining that well?
Yeah. It's kind of the problem that they're too liberal with what they're patenting or copywriting.
Well,
so it should exist. We just shouldn't have as many of them as we do.
So when I read this, I see that Google used some of the same nuts and bolts that Oracle used to build their Rube Goldberg machine. And Oracle's saying, no, we copyrighted this Rube Goldberg machine. You shouldn't be able to use those nuts and bolts because we used them in our Rube Goldberg machine. That's how I see this case. Is that a better example than the car thing?
Somewhat.
Okay. That's how I see this.
There isn't a direct enough analog, so we're going abstract no matter how we're describing it.
Well, I mean, they used a couple hundred lines of code or a couple thousand lines of code to make the APIs compatible. That's what they did. Was they went and grabbed an open source Java project, used the same lines of code, you know, if we're not using, you know, abstraction here, and they took those same lines of code and incorporated it into their system so that it would be largely Java compatible so that you could write Java code. That way you had a large population of people who were already writing programs that could write programs for the new system. And
one thing that I've always been somewhat confused with open source is, if it's open source, do they even have a case? Because open source is pretty much anyone can use it.
So open source does not mean public domain. Open source does not mean anybody can use it. Open source means that the source code is available as part of the license.
Now, okay. Paying the license.
When we talk about open source, we're generally talking about a particular set of open source licenses, the GNU licenses, the BSD licenses, the Apache licenses. What those are is that's saying I have a copyright on this piece of software I've written, this code I've written. I'm going to license it under this open source license that says you are free to do whatever you want with the code as long as you respect the terms of these license, right? So open source generally just means I have access to the source code as part of how I got it. Then you have the whole GNU free software, which they have a bunch of political statements attached to their licenses. They've got their four freedoms. And, you know, and you can get really esoteric with this stuff very quickly, but it's not public domain code. It is under a copyright. It was distributed with a license attached to it. So if you're going to do something with that code, you do have to respect that license. Now, if it's one of the common open source licenses, like, say, the GNU license, generally that means that you have to open source your code that's based on the open source project. So, and by the way, the Android guys did. Android is open source. That's one of the reasons it's the most popular mobile operating system, is because anybody who makes a device can go grab a copy of it, compile it for their device, and throw it out there. That doesn't mean it's going to be tied into all the Google services. This is why you see all of these cheap Chinese tablets and TV sticks that are running Android, usually an old version of Android, but they won't be hooked up to Google Play. They won't have any of the Google account stuff hooked into them. They've grabbed open source Android to get an OS on it, usually thrown their own interface on top of it, and went. Right. Yeah. So as long as they followed the open source license that the code was published under, I don't know that they have a case. And I think your point there is well made. But you do need to be careful about saying you can do whatever you want with open source software, because that's not true. And there have been companies, I think TiVo was one of them, that have been sued for shipping products with open source code in them without publishing the source code. BusyBox is the one that comes to mind for most of those cases. So, anyways, Justice Stephen Breyer, who wrote the majority opinion in the case, agreed that Google's use of the code was protected under fair use, noting that Google took, quote, only what was needed to allow users to put their accrued talents to work in a new and transformative program, unquote. Quote, to the extent that Google used parts of the Sun Java API to create a new platform that could be readily used by programmers, its use was consistent with that creative process that is the basic constitutional objective of copyright itself, Breyer added. Breyer said that the top court assumed, for argument's sake, that the code was copyrightable in the first place, but declined to issue a ruling on that question, saying that holding on fair use was enough to decide the case. Quote, given the rapidly changing technological, economic, and business-related circumstances, we believe we should not answer any more than is necessary to resolve the party's dispute, Breyer wrote. Breyer was joined by Chief Justice John Roberts and Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh. Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito dissented. In his dissent, joined by Alito, Thomas chided the majority for skipping over the question of copyrightability. Quote, the court wrongly sidesteps the principal question that we were asked to answer. Is declaring code protected by copyright? I would hold that it is, Thomas wrote. The quote, the majority purports to save for another day the question of whether declaring the code is copyrightable. The only apparent reason for doing so is because the majority cannot square its fundamentally flawed fair use analysis with the finding that the declaring code is copyrightable, Thomas added. The case, which is one of the most significant of the term, features a high-profile battle over competing visions of the future of software development. The, quote, the long-settled practice of reusing software interfaces is critical to modern software development, unquote. Google's attorney, veteran Supreme Court lawyer Tom Goldstein, told the justices during arguments. The case attracted attention in Silicon Valley and elsewhere. In a friend of the court brief filed in the case, Microsoft argued that the federal appeals court decision, quote, threatens modern paradigms of software development, unquote. So, anyways, it gets weird because what Google or what Android did, because it wasn't Google when at the time Google bought it. They came in and took over the Android project. Basically, they bought it out. So what they did was they implemented a version of Java so that people could use the same programming language on Android. And if you're going to implement Java, there's certain boilerplate code that's going to be the same between your implementation and another implementation of the language. So it doesn't really matter whether I wrote it myself or I copied it out of Sun's code. It's going to be the same. And I think that's what a large chunk of this is. And I wouldn't doubt that somebody at some point said, well, it's just more practical to grab chunks of the Sun code. It's already open source than it is to re-implement all of that themselves. And even then, and I don't know that that's what happened. I'm suspecting. But even then, even if they did write it all themselves, because you're implementing the same interfaces, it's going to be the same code. Like, there's only so many ways to do that, right? Excuse me. And I do not have COVID. I proved that today. So, doesn't matter.
And it sounds to me that the dissenting opinion wasn't even dissenting on the decision. It's dissenting on they didn't answer the complete question.
Right.
Was there a concurrent dissenting opinion or a concurrent majority opinion?
It didn't say.
Then there probably wasn't one. There's not always one. What that means for anyone that's wondering is, someone can agree that the decision was made correctly, like a Google shouldn't, whatever, Google won, but the reason the majority is given is wrong, so they're giving another opinion on why they came to that decision?
Well, if you've developed this, you know, if you want to support a language on a different system, there's only going to be so many ways to do it. And, I mean, could you twiddle with the white space or maybe rename some variables to make it so it's your implementation and not someone else? Yeah, you could, but it's kind of just, you know, it's kind of ant-fucking at that point, right?
Yeah.
And if anything, you're more likely to introduce bugs doing that than you're having a proper interface. So, and It has been too long since I've read up on this stuff, but I seem to remember the Android guys reaching out to Sun before Oracle bought them and saying, we're doing this, and the Sun guys saying, that's awesome, go nuts.
Unless it was a written agreement.
Yeah, it would have been email.
I think Oracle could go back on it.
It would have been email, and it would have been engineer to engineer. It wouldn't have been anybody in like a decision-making capacity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Been like, we're doing this. Is there a problem here? No, go nuts. It's awesome. I seem to remember there were conversations, and like the people at Sun thought it was great because they actually wanted Java to be implemented in tons of places.
And then yeah, if it's everywhere, then you're eventually going to make more money with it. That's why Windows was giving their shit away for a while.
Well, no, Sun was very heavy on the open source philosophy. They were wanting to build up an ecosystem. They were hoping to see, they were trying to build the internet. And that's actually, Sun was around the time when that was a thing. You know, they figured out they could build and sell Unix-based servers cheaper than anybody else was doing it. And then they started writing a lot of their own code to do it. And then when the GNU stuff started coming out, they were supporting it. I mean, not as heavily as they did at the end before Oracle bought them, but so I don't know. It's they had some very utopian thinking going on at Sun, so it's not so much that they were. I mean, they wanted market share, they wanted a successful company, but they also just wanted to build up the tools so that the internet was a thing. You know what I mean? They gave a lot. Sun gave a lot of technology away. Although they did sue Microsoft when Microsoft released Microsoft Java, which was basically Sun Java that they called J++. But that was a little different because Microsoft basically took the whole thing and started selling it. it was a little different. Yeah, Microsoft basically took the open source project, changed the name, and then tried to resell it. That's not cool on anybody's standards. All right, next article. Geez, I thought those words, we were going to be short on articles, but we've gone on. It's almost 50 minutes. Next article is from Torrent Freak. Sky wins injunction to stop Reddit moderator from sharing pirated TV shows, specifically linking to them. UK broadcaster Sky has won a court injunction to prevent links to its TV shows from being illegally shared online. Handed down by court in Scotland, the interim order targets a man who moderated several TV-focused communities on Reddit while raising funds through Patreon and PayPal. Reddit's one of the largest sites on the internet, playing host to thousands of communities dedicated to every conceivable topic. One of these communities, or most of these communities, run along smoothly, causing no issues for the members of the site or any entity further afield. However, when persistent copyright infringement raises its head, trouble is on the horizon. Sky TV is one of the largest broadcasters in the UK, home to channels including Sky One, Sky Arts, blah, I don't care. However, if watching individual TV shows from Sky is your thing, it's perfectly possible to head over to Reddit and access links to free pirated copies posted to numerous TV-focused communities, some of which are moderated by a user known as Cherzo. According to action filed by Sky in a Scottish court, Cherzo 1 was the moderator of three subreddits, r/UK TV Land, r/Not a Panel Show, and r/UK Panel Shows Only, which together had more than 51,000 subscribers. Cherzo also had a YouTube channel with more than 95,000 subscribers. According to Sky, all of these platforms were used to infringe the company's copyrights. The means by which the defender is averred to have breached pursuant copyright is encouraging readers of the subreddits to post requests for links to UK television programs, and thereafter the provision of hyperlinks to a Google Drive containing a copy of the requested content. Those hyperlinks, which are provided by Cherzo 1, are visible and clickable by all readers and clearly labeled to show the users, allow the users to identify the content that is being hyperlinked. Sky says that Cherzo 1 breached its rights in many TV shows, including Gangs of London, Cop Squad, Thronecast, The Russell Howard Hour. Okay, I don't care about the rest of these shows. And because he was asking for donations, they're saying he was doing it for profit. This guy wants an injunction against this guy. So what he was doing is he was a moderator on several subreddits for doing streaming. And he was providing links to various streaming sites where somebody had posted a TV, one of these UK TV shows. And Sky's got an injunction against him, and they're going after him for copyright infringement because he's just posting links.
He's a fucking librarian. Leave him alone.
Well, that's the
thing. He's just showing you where you where your book is or your program is. He's not actually doing it.
This is outlawing linking. That's what they're doing.
That's, of course, the UK, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But that's why I wanted to mention this story, is they've actually got a court to say, I'm sorry, you can't link.
Yeah, good luck stopping that one.
So, and I mean, okay, he was posting a lot of these links, so he obviously had some source, but I mean, is posting a link to somebody else's server copyright infringement? Because at a very technical level, I'd say no.
No. It's just directions. Directions to... Someone's asked him a question. He's given them a correct answer. And now he's in the wrong. Wait.
Well, he's the guy saying, oh, no, we can. You can go sit on that field, that hill over there and see the baseball game without buying a ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you know where I can go watch the baseball game without a ticket? And the dude tells you where... Yeah, you're right. That's all it is. Anything, the onus should be on the person asking the fucking question.
And he's again, also the guy asking or answering, do you know where I can score an eight ball? Yeah, that dude down the street over there, he's the dealer in the neighborhood.
Is that illegal?
It depends. Is the dealer the one having you do it? He's on a forum dedicated to copyright infringement, moderating it. And someone is requesting, where can I find this copyrighted material without paying whatever duties are due to it?
Yeah, he is. That's exactly it. But he's only saying it's that dude over there.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with having knowledge and sharing it.
I guess for the RICO point that I was making, they'd have to show that these guys giving him this knowledge were giving him a kickback somehow.
No, it sounds like he was getting his donations from people who were requesting the links, and he was providing them and then having a, you know, digital tip jar, basically.
Now, if any of those guys that were throwing the links in there threw a tip in that jar, then yeah. He's working for them.
He shouldn't be getting tips, man. Yeah, no, I'm not down with that. I switch positions if you're asking for money for the to supply the information. Even if it's not asking directly. Same with the madman's example, the drug dealer down the street. If I know where one is, man, I ain't going to charge you $10 to tell you. Yeah, you know, that's... If you're charging money for directions, then technically you're a prostitute.
Okay.
That goes for any other online broadcast out there, too. If you're asking for donations, likes, or suggestions, you're a whore.
That just made YouTube the sluttiest site on the internet.
Oh, it is, dude, it is. You've got to be a whore to be on YouTube.
You just beat out Windows to be the sluttiest.
Dude, think about it. You have a digital pimp that'll slap you up the fuck side of the head if you don't give him a slice of your money. And if you say something wrong about daddy, you're going to get beaten again. Dude, YouTube is a digital fucking pimp. That's all it is. Someone controls your money and the way you can conduct yourself. That sounds like a pimp or an abusive fucking relationship to me. You know what I mean? Susan Wojcicki is a fucking pimp and at worst an abusive relationship person who keeps abusing people at YouTube. Control their money and you control their thought and what they can do. You, ma'am, are a pimp.
Well, controlling the thoughts is something that's there. Sorry, Ben.
That's what pimps do, dude. They keep the whores scared and compliant by slapping them around and taking their money. Telling me I'm wrong.
I can't.
Exactly. You're on YouTube, you're a whore. Any platform that takes your money and tells you what to do, you are a whore.
Madman, you got anything on that? You ready to move on?
Oh, so you think I think whores are dirty, don't you? I didn't say that.
You are reading into my attempt to move on to the next story because we're already an hour
in.
Go
for it, man.
I'm good.
Hurry up.
I'm good.
Let's I need a cigarette. Let's move through this.
Okay.
My addictions need.
I don't even need to read this one. Yahoo Answers is shutting down on May the 4th. You have through June 30th to request your data.
Yahoo Answers has my data?
Well, any questions you've asked?
Oh, okay.
You want to know where the "how was Babby formed" meme came from? Yahoo Answers.
That's where it came from.
There used to be all kinds of weird shit on there. It was good reading when you were drunk at 3 in the morning.
Can I sue my gardener or something for paternity, even though he's not the father of my child, things like that? Great questions.
Oh, something that could be on there, but I know the answer to. Does everyone else know that sperm's considered a gift to the chick that you spooge in or on?
I need the "you more you know" theme so I can play that on the soundboard.
Yeah. Pretty sure that was a court case.
Yes, it has been legally decided.
Yeah.
Last article I have for tonight is from Vice. Facebook says it's your fault that hackers got 500 million user phone numbers.
Nope, it's their fault.
Abusive relationship. If you're with Facebook, you're in an abusive relationship.
So the Facebook breach basically worked by, they had a feature where you could upload your address book on your phone, and then they would find the Facebook accounts of any of your contacts so you could quickly fill up your friends list. So, and if you didn't have your profiles set to not participate in that program, which they didn't advertise because you know how Facebook is with privacy settings and resetting them whenever the hell they feel like it, you know, your account would show up in it. So somebody created a Facebook or created a contact list with every phone number in the world in it. And that way they were able to validate all of these phone numbers through Facebook. And so now Facebook is saying, well, that's your fault for having your privacy settings wrong. Not their fault for a really easy to abuse system.
Yeah. I don't have anything for that.
I don't want to read the whole thing. It's annoying.
Yeah,
and the picture
I don't
of Mark Zuckerberg on the front really, really makes me wonder how much this guy got beat up in high school.
A lot.
Not enough. The answer to that question is not enough.
I mean, he has a very punchable face.
Well, there's a reason he had to create this thing to try and get laid in college.
I'm specifically referring to the photo that they took from the last congressional thing. It looks terrible. It's like, money as you have, surely somebody would tell you your camera looks fucking awful.
Hello, fellow humans. Tongue licks eye.
And for the record, I have not built a new soundboard yet, but I did close it for the majority of the show so that it wasn't running in the background, so it was more likely to work correctly when I needed it. Because I know it's been fucking up a lot lately. Two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is an update to Have I Been Pwned, which I'm not going to read the whole article, but I will link it. As long as we're allowed to do that, it's not illegal yet, and I don't have to pay news broadcaster Australian fees yet. So essentially, the guy who runs Have I Been Pwned took one of the Facebook phone number dumps, because they're apparently easy to find, and incorporated it into Have I Been Pwned. So if you're curious, if your phone number was in the Facebook dump, you can go punch it into Have I Been Pwned and see if it comes up. Also, be aware that if you punch your phone number in there, it potentially is now in there. Actually, the guy running Have I Been Pwned is on the up and up, but I'm sure, you know, he's on the up and up, but there's probably 100 other sites out there like check if your phone's compromised. My favorite is check if your credit card number has been compromised. Punch in your credit card number. Punch in your CVE. Punch in your name and address. Yes. Yes, your credit card has been compromised.
It's been compromised. You just compromised it. You retard.
Yeah, the joke script didn't actually send it anywhere, but there were versions of it that did. And then the last thing I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo, RU sent to me earlier today. He said, you know, in case you need to correct your odometer, here's a nice Instructables article on correcting your car's odometer. It is Instructable, so you want to make sure you're running Adblock, NoScript, Ghostery, probably 100 other ad blockers because their site's pretty bad if you go to it on a device without a condom.
I skimmed through it. It looks credible.
So if
it's just to adjust.
So if for some reason your odometer is incorrect, here's instructions on fixing your odometer. Can't imagine why your odometer wouldn't have the correct value on it, but in case it did, like, I don't know, maybe, you know, put different size tires on the car. Or, you know,
that could affect it, or if you switched out your motor.
Yeah, that could do it.
That too, yeah.
This, the frame may have 100,000 miles on it, but this is a brand new motor.
Yeah, there's plenty of reasons why you do it legitimately. Yeah.
There's only a couple. There's only one reason to do it legitimately, Madman. Which is easy. I want to up the resale value of my car.
But, you know, that just needs a little tweak, you know, for blue book value and all. Well, just with the up and coming miles per gallon tax that they're thinking about doing, you want to make sure that you go for a long boat ride with your guns this weekend and double check that odometer.
I don't own any guns. All the guns with those serial numbers, you had a horrible incident with a Dremel and fell in a lake. Yep. No, these aren't ghost guns. They're perfectly tangible.
Would have got away with this gun if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Oh, I still want to get into 3D printing guns, but I've got a million other things I got to do first. So. And it's not even because I can't get guns. It's because I just, you know, think it'd be fun to try.
I want to get an auto lathe and actually make real guns.
Auto lathes are expensive.
Yeah, I'm going to get the number to the ATF. A lot of hobbies I want to get into.
I like what DP said. DP View says, no. They all have serial numbers. Look, let me get my Sharpie.
Oh, you mean the ones that you wanted stamped on? No, I thought this was America. I just made my own stamp, my own die.
I'm just immediately going to Randy Marsh.
I got to make my own serial numbers. This one is fuck you, ATF. Oh, they have to have numbers in them?
Actually, one of the most popular models for a 3D printable gun is called the FGC9. FGC stands for fuck gun control. Yeah, if you're 3D printing and manufacturing your own weapon in the garage, you get to stamp your serial number on. It's yours if you're going to, I mean, now if you're going to do that, I guess you have to pay the stamp and actually pay to get it registered, I guess. But you could do that. It's, I don't know, I don't remember what it is. It's not crazy expensive. Although I think you have to have a license as a gun manufacturer, and that is expensive.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But yeah, you supposedly could put whatever serial number you wanted on the things after that, because, you know, it's yours. You made it. It's like, why do all your serial numbers end in 69? Because I want these guns to be nice. Yeah, I don't want to shoot anybody. No, Psychros, I don't want to shoot anybody. I want to play with the mechanics and the physical properties of, can I build the machine that does the function? That's why I'm interested in it. What do I want to shoot with it? Pieces of paper at range. That's it. If I ever have to shoot somebody with a gun, I'm going to feel terrible for a long time. So I really don't want to deal with that. That said, I have them. So, you know.
Hey, man, you don't need more than a 12-gauge. As I told my wife, you know, if someone's running around our property, you just go out there and you just let fire two rounds. And that'll scare them off.
Yeah, by
we'll also have an empty gun.
Advocating firing rounds into the air.
I know, what a fucking idiot. Just fire two rounds. Oh, you're also empty and the person knows where you are. Good luck.
Also, that stuff's going to come down somewhere. And if you're randomly firing
into
the air,
you
don't control where it is.
Okay.
Oh.
Anyway, fuck it. Not doing gun control. I don't care.
That's all I have for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, the IRC, which tonight had myself, Sardonyx, Cycros, DP View, and the coffee maker. No Herats tonight, which we were going to make fun of his name, but I'm going to next time he's on, I'm going to get shit for that. It's like, what were you going to make fun of my name for? I'm not.
Well, it was a valid ask, let's just say that.
It was a valid ask.
We did our
jokes.
Homework, Herats.
We had some jokes. Anyways, that's it. I got nothing. No, wait. I did skip a step. Madman, closing thoughts.
All you need is a 12-gauge. You just need to have more than two shots. You know, double-aught buck will take care of most problems, and the ones that doesn't solve, hollow point slugs will solve.
What about those one rounds we saw that had, like, the little bolas in them?
Those bolas break more often than you would think, so they just turn into double-aught buck.
Oh.
But the ones that don't break do make interesting wound patterns.
I mean, it's like, let's make the coroner's day interesting, right? I mean...
But if I'm going something like that, I still like setting people on fire with a shotgun. I mean, it's...
Dragon's breath rounds.
No, I'm just ruining the barrel, but it's a shotgun barrel. You can... buy those pretty easily.
Are you closing thoughts?
I have nothing, man. It's been a long week. That it.
It has been a long week. It has been a fucking long week. But that's not important. That's all I have for tonight. Sound effects. I'm hitting sound effects.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Sounds good. Nose down and call the night.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Shut up, Wesley.